Girl, when I tell you, listen, you need to grab a journal, a pen, a pad, grab your phone. Honey, get ready to take notes. I am so excited about this conversation we're about to have with my friend Robin Young. Honey, she's the real deal. You are about to get some ahas, an opportunity for transformation. I'm super excited. But if you haven't already, can you make sure that you subscribe to the channel? If you're watching this on YouTube, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, it helps so much if you subscribe. Wherever you're watching or listening, can you like? Can you comment? Can you share? It helps it to move up the algorithm and helps more people see and know about the work we're doing here. Let me get quiet, honey, and let's head on over to this episode. I think it's gonna bless you. Hey friend, I'm Robin May, and a few of the professional hats that I wear includes being a transformational speaker, a life coach, and a licensed therapist. And personally, well, I'm a wife, a mommy to three girls, and a pastor's wife, just to name a few. Girl, I'm over here doing all the things while trying to stay in shape and keep my skin clear. But the truth is, I don't want to be known for being busy. I think that's a scheme that somebody set up. No, I want to be known for living a life that is in perfect alignment with what God intended. And I want to help you do the same. So it's with that in mind, I'd like to welcome you right here to Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Over here, we're creating a safe space to have real conversations with real women on real topics. This is a judgment-free zone where we can be vulnerable and honest and curious about our lives so that we can elevate not just what we do, but who we are. So if any of that resonates with you, again, welcome to our safe space. This is Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. All right, y'all, you are in for a treat. I already did the introduction a few minutes ago, so I'm going to dive right into the conversation. I am super excited to continue this series called Mind Your Money, because we are minding our money and we are paying attention to it. What I felt very strongly when I started this series, even when I wasn't sure exactly what the title of the series was going to be, is that I understand a principle that I even realize that I have faltered with when it comes to money. And the principle is whatever you nurture grows, and whatever you neglect dies. And so if you are not nurturing and paying attention and leaning in to what's happening to your money and with your money, not just how much you have or how much you don't have, what your emotions are tied to it, how your story is about money, what happened as a childhood in your childhood when it comes to money. If you're not minding your money, you will see it show up in ways that you don't want it to show up. I went through a whole spiel. I didn't even mean to do that. So as we continue in this series, I have my friend Robin here. Welcome, Robin.
Well,
this
Stanley,
is Yes, this is my girl. And what's so funny is, y'all, it's a funny story. Even as we were getting ready to record, my husband had to come in here because he wanted to say hi to his friend. Because you and Lee went to what?
Sixth
We're in seventh
grade,
grade together.
Yeah, middle
sixth
school.
Grade.
Sixth, seventh, and eighth. Yes.
So crazy. They were in middle school together. But I did not even meet Robin through my husband. I met Robin through, like, so listen, I call Quita everybody's ace.
Yes. But she really is mine. How blessed
she
am
really
I?
Really is yours. But when I tell you she would be Penhale's ace,
listen,
like
listen.
across the
They don't
line.
Make them like Quita. They don't make them like Quita. They don't, they, you can't.
That girl. So we. You cannot. I have so many real relationships, solid relationships through my friendship with Queen. Anyway, so we met through a mutual friend, and girl, we've just been connected ever since.
We have a very special connection that's real soulful. It's very safe. It's very honest, and dare I say deep, because we go there quickly.
Quickly, honey.
Y'all,
let's go in. Let me finish this. I'm going to send you this reel of the conversation between girlfriends.
Yes.
It reminds me so much of you and I.
Thanks.
Because y'all, even before I hit record, I'm over here like, so Robin, I've had this real serious thing. And you said it perfectly. It is such a beautiful, beautiful sistership. And I'm so grateful. Because
yes.
this conversation about money
mm-hmm.
is one where you are one of the few women that I share extremely vulnerably with.
Yes.
You're one of the few women because it is such a sensitive conversation. Mm-hmm. And if I can toot my horn just a little bit, I'm often in spaces, Robin, where I am the go-to.
Yes.
And I'm the one that is helping people navigate tough spaces.
Yes. Yes.
And when I find spaces where people can help me navigate, baby, I cling to it. And you are one of those spaces for me. So thank you.
Thank you. And that means the world to me because my personal mantra is be value added. Because mm-hmm. every interaction I have with anyone, if it's a second or a lifetime, I really want to make sure that they walk away saying, I got something from that interaction. So that means so much to me. So much.
There is no way anybody can encounter you, quite frankly, and not get something from it. So, but went straight. This is what we do. We went straight there. But first, I want to allow you to introduce yourself. Y'all, when I do these interviews, and I just shared this with Robin, it's not even an interview, it's a conversation. And we'll get bios because these are actually my friends. I have not had anybody on the podcast yet who is not a personal friend. I actually just DM'd this, not DM'd. I sent this girl an email yesterday, Robin, this random chick. I don't even know this girl, but she is a therapist and her whole focus is on financial psychology.
Ooh, wow.
And I got a PDF from her that somebody sent me and it was so good. Uh-huh. I just sent her an email and said, can you be on the podcast? I ain't heard from her, but she would be like the first person who isn't a personal friend.
Yeah.
So go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience, which is filled with powerful women. Our podcast is focused on real conversations with real women on real topics. So introduce yourself to them and how you got into this space.
Okay, absolutely. So I'm going to first talk to you. So where am I right now? I'm in a hotel room in New York City. So I actually live in LA. But I am in New York for 2.5 days. And let me tell you why I'm here. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because it will help you understand how I look at money. Okay.
Yes.
So my line sister, her number is number 4 and my number is number 18. And we were together last summer, and we really hadn't spent a lot of time together, quality time, in years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? We need to change that. So what we did is, so she's the 4 and I'm the 18. Today is April 18th. So this is our number day. And so
that's so cute. April 18th. First of all, let me tell you all, you've heard me say different pearls forever, my girl. She is a member of Delta Sigma Beta Sorority Incorporated. Most of you know I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So when she's talking about her line sister, she is talking about the line that pledged at the Spelman.
Yes, Eta Kappa, yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So today is y'all's line. Girl, that is the cutest thing ever. April 18th. Okay, so keep going.
And so, and I'm so happy because so April 18th is our number day, but really what it is to celebrate us. We have a very special relationship. She's the first person to tell me I was beautiful. And she was absolutely committed to helping me know that. Okay. So I'm in New York City and, we're here and we have had a magical time. We both flew in yesterday, late afternoon, early evening. And I'm talking magical. Like we ended up seeing a performance by Lauryn Hill's daughter. And Lauryn Hill was right across from me. And everybody knows me that I am her biggest fan. So the fact that we just ran into her, we're sitting.
Yes. That's like me running into Oprah.
Yes. But the reason I'm sharing that is because the essence of money for me is about it being a tool to pay for my freedom, okay, and to pay for my pleasure. And so when pleasure is a byproduct of freedom, and when I say freedom, I first of all, I love acronyms, love them. Like, they just make me happy. I'm such a nerd at heart and I just need like organization. So the F in freedom stands for fitness, the R relationships, the first E expertise, professional life, the second E experiences, the D divinity, the O others, and the M millionaire. And all of us, we have a vision of those seven elements and our money should pay for those, period. Period.
Okay, stop. And you've already dropped so many nuggets. First of all, let's go back.
Yes.
For you, money is a tool that pays for pleasure and free, pays for your freedom and
pays
your pleasure.
For my freedom. And when I experience the byproduct of living of my freedom vision is pleasure. And my goal is 80% daily pleasure. So everything in my life is created so that I am smiling from my soul out. Now, some people have really interesting feelings about the word pleasure. So let's be really clear about what I mean by pleasure. Pleasure is when you are in your purpose, because I believe that my God, your God, whomever that is, has given each of us a purpose. And when we fulfill that purpose, our reward is freedom, pleasure, et cetera. And pleasure is when you're sitting and you're just happy, you're content, you're joyful. Pleasure is, you know, and it's different for other people. Like for me, when I see an organized space, that's pleasure for me. When I'm talking in a deep way, like today, talking to you, like that's so pleasurable to me.
Yes.
A nice restaurant. I love when I can put a smile on someone's face. I love, like, pleasure is that thing that you feel inside that you're like, I'm right. I am content. Because when we're there, we are the greatest, we can be the greatest service to the most number of people. So, because remember, this has to be win-win. Life is, we're all connected. So it has to be win-win. So pleasure is your highest joyful state and it's unique to you. Whatever it is, it's okay. And when you're there, your only response is, I got to help everybody else. I'm feeling too good. What do you need? What do you need? You know, that's
you get pleasure. You get pleasure. Everybody gets pleasure.
You know, Oprah. Exactly. Exactly. So let's talk about money. Money is just a tool to pay for your vision. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know the origin of money, maybe because it has a lot of power in terms of paying for the pleasure. So when you don't have it, it's easy to connect your worthiness and all of this. However, we need to get back to basics. Okay. With money, what we have to do is earn an income. Income is purely an exchange of value. See, it goes back to value added, exchange of value. All you have to do is understand what's your value, package it, and ask for what you need it to pay for. That's it.
Wait, give that to me again. Okay, so I told you all I saved Robin for last because I knew that she would be able to take what we got from Darshan and what we got from Korea and summarize it in a way that is transformational. So Robin, slow down for me. You just said so much that I want to grasp.
Yes.
We've had so many of these conversations. And like I said, before I hit record, watch this. I feel the Holy Spirit. Y'all know I don't say that a lot on the podcast. I want you to watch me. I am challenging my audience to watch me from this moment over the next 3 months.
Yes.
Because I believe that these conversations that I've had with Robin for years and with many people.
Yes.
When the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yes.
And I'm ready.
Yes.
I want to grasp that again. So first of all, you said, I'm not sure where this comes from, why money makes us all act weird at times. I will say, putting on my clinical hat, there is power in money. Money carries an energy. or what we attach to money carries an energy. And so that's where the psychological realities come, what money represents for us. Yes. So I would love for you to flesh out in a moment, do you agree with the statement that for many people, money represents security? And so what it represents, what we've attached to it. But I love what you said. Let's get back to basics. Money in and of itself, that's why I hate when people get the scripture wrong that says, when people say money is the root of all evil, that is not what the Bible says.
Love of money.
The love of money. So it's what you attach to the money. So you said, let's get back to basics. Money is a tool.
Yes.
And the tool is what helps me live out freedom. Am I getting that right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So then you began to talk about value added. Take me back through that.
Okay. So let's just say, for example, that you would like to take your oldest daughter on a 2-week trip and it's just the two of you.
Yes. Okay.
And let's just say that 2-week trip will cost $5,000.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know where you guys want to go. This is a hypothetical. I'm just making, okay. Cause your oldest is like a phenomenal
17. Yes.
Like, I'm like, I want to be her when I grow up, but, so that $5,000. So if you go back to freedom, okay. So that would be the second E, experiences. Okay. Mm-hmm. That experience of bonding with your daughter, okay, costs $5,000. Well, you need 5,000 literal dollars, you know, and I don't know if you want to go someplace else. It could be a different currency. I don't know how many people are listening, but let's just use dollars for now. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is figure out a way to receive, get $5,000 to pay for that. Okay. Now I'm not going to talk about taxes or anything like that. Let's just,
yes.
Okay. So if you need $5,000, what you have to focus on is not having $5,000. You have to focus on being value added so that $5,000 can come back to you. And that's what people miss about money. Because when you say, I don't, like, if let's say you're looking at the budget, I'm like, well, we got to pay for this. We got to pay for that. We got to pay for this. I don't see an extra $5,000. And it's like, okay. Just like if you look in your pantry and you're like, out of bread, what do you need to do? You got to go get some. Okay.
Right.
As soon as you say, oh, that $5,000, I need that to come in. So what you have to do, the exchange is this, and this is what people miss. As soon as they say, I don't have $5,000, they attach that to like, I've done something wrong or worthiness or something. And that's wrong. Immediately when you say, I don't have, it's like, okay, I need to get it.
Yes.
Now, how do I get it? I need to exchange enough value so that I receive $5,000. And that's all.
Who determines? Okay. I have so many questions about that.
Come on.
Who then determines that what I am presenting has that value add? Or do I say what I'm giving you has a $5,000 worth and I look for who agrees?
So the second statement you made is closer to my interpretation of it. I'll tell you how I have done it. Okay. So for a therapist, you understand this. You remember that Akers test when you give it to people and it's like the trauma.
My God, yes. Yes.
With like 10 questions now. I think it's something like 12 or 15. Well, I scored an 8 out of 10. And 90% of death row inmates score 7 or above. And I'm an 8. Okay. So I bring that up just so you understand, like, I know trauma. Okay. Like, sadly.
Yes.
Because I know trauma and because I know lack. Okay. I had serious worthiness issues. I mean, serious. And I was abandoned by both my mother and my father. Okay. Simultaneously, but for different reasons, which is really interesting. And so I had a deficit of worthiness. Now, my whole life has been a worthiness journey. See, that's what God does for me, my God. This is my God.
Yes.
So yes. My God has taken me on this worthiness journey. And my worthiness journey has been about understanding my intrinsic worth. Okay. But that took a long time to get to. But what I could sink my teeth into was, what could I give people that would be worth something to them?
Mm.
And so my business is all structured around, whatever you pay me, I'm committed to giving you three times that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay me $1,000, working with me directly means I am going to help you earn three.
Mm. Okay.
Now that's my numbers. I love numbers. I love math.
Yes.
Analysis, like, that is my happy place, right? You know, some people sit down and they watch like TV. I like sit
yes.
Excel spreadsheet. I'm like,
let me tell you, I'm such a nerd too, because when I go running, mm-hmm. I never listen to music. Like, wow. That does nothing. Girl, I'm listening to podcasts or an Audible.
Yes.
I'm learning.
You're
I'm
learning
when I'm yes. And so I chase that. I can't wait to go out and run because I'm going to learn something new. Okay. So you're explaining.
But I wanted, for you. Yes. And so what's really critical is, let's use that example. If you pay me $1,000, I have to figure out a way that whatever I ask, like, you're paying for, that I make sure you will have at least $3,000 more, so that I can give you three times a return on investment, or 300%. Okay. And so, just like the ebook that I created, I'll send, you know, we'll make it available for your audience, but it's a money maximization guide. And each 10-minute rich behavior, and I call it a money maximization move, it's 10 minutes, but it will offer at least like $5,000, some of them are $50,000, because I give you five different ones. But it's like, I know, and this is a free ebook, right? But I know that if I can help you get three times what you give me, we're set. You'll probably come back for more, right?
Absolutely.
But an exchange that I feel great about. So now let's talk about somebody else. So what people have to do is understand their truest value add. Like, what do you do so well that you add value to people? It's almost instantaneously. And it's easy for you to do that thing. That's you. That's probably connected to your value. So what you have to figure out, who needs it and who can pay for it. And so $5,000, it's like, okay, so what value add can I put together that's one $5,000 one, right? Which means you'll have to give them $15,000 worth of whatever it is, or, you know, 10 of 500, or, you know, you just break it down.
Yes.
It's really numbers. But what people have to do is stop. As soon as you see a gap in between what you want and what you have, that gap is not a lack of worth. That gap,
yes,
is pain. It's not overwhelm. It's not regret. It's not resentment. It's not yearning. And that's called sorry. I use that. But instead, it has to be an opportunity to just close that gap. And how do you close that gap? You close that gap by adding value and bringing in income. And then once you get that income, doing enough with it that you're basically saving now and playing now.
Mm. Okay.
Or 18, right? Because part of this trip is about, like, I earned money for this trip.
Yes. Okay. So much. I'm trying to figure out, because y'all, I haven't even looked at my questions. And this is what we said was going to happen. Even in the question I'm about to ask, it is going to reveal my own money mindset, but I'm vulnerable. I'm out there. I can grasp this for me and for you and other entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time grasping it for my listener who is killing the game at, I'm just going to make up a company, at Xerox. Does Xerox even exist anymore? But she's killing the game anywhere.
Yes.
So she's killing the game. She's not the top executive, but she has a pretty good job and she's doing well. But She does see that gap.
Okay.
And so
Okay.
when she hears you say that, she's trying, I could go create a product.
Yeah, no.
She's like, what do I do?
I am so excited you asked that question. Well, part of it is because most people waste so much money. But let me define waste. Most people define waste by like pleasurable things. You can't have the latte. You can't have the nice thing you want. No, no, no.
Yeah.
That's not my definition of waste. So Robin A. Young's definition of waste is spending money on something that does not give you pleasure. Because I can tell you, so I specialize in working with high income earners, and I specialize in ensuring that those high income earners are actually maximizing their money. The ebook, you know, money maximization checklist, because ultimately, if you could stop wasting, we can close that gap. And that's the first, just stop wasting. So let me give you an example. So people come to me all the time. They have families, they have, you know, husband, wife, kids, and they have all of these out, you know, these expenditures. And it's like, where did my money go? Right. And I just, all these things I want to do. What do you mean? I need to save more. I need to work on retirement. Robin, I'm just trying to get through this month, right? It's just so much going on. And I ask them, I say, I want you to do me a favor. Take me with you to your refrigerator. Okay. Take me with you to your pantry, either one. And I want to know, do you have more than 2 weeks worth of food in either of those? Because if you do, that's waste.
Girl.
Because I ask people, when people say something to me like, oh, I can't afford it or this, I'll say, go on a 30-day challenge. Look in your refrigerator or your pantry, and outside of perishables, you know, for fruit or just, you know, things that you just have to buy every week or every couple of weeks, but do a 30-day challenge and see if you can just find $500 or $1,000. And do you know, every single person who has ever done this challenge has found at least $300?
By cutting things out.
Not cutting things out. You just don't go to the grocery store until that is, until you don't have, when, until you have cleaned out essentially your pantry.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Girl, and we sitting over there with a refrigerator, a freezer outside in the garage.
I know. And I'm telling you, stop the waste. Stop the waste. So I don't care who's listening to this. I promise you, you're wasting something. I promise you. And if you're a high income earner, you earn over six figures, you earn over $100,000. Do you know the average high income earner is wasting at least $1,400 a month? I have this whole list of how people waste money. Or what about this? Waiting to the last minute to buy something that you need, so you have to pay a premium. See, there, wherever you are, just stop the waste.
And waste is not the latte.
Let me tell you, spending. Let me give you an example of waste. Let me give you a perfect example of waste. So there's this meal that I kind of really like. And when I go to Trader Joe's, it's $7.78. Okay. Including tax. Okay. Even in California. Right. So I'm thinking $6 someplace else. Well, take that. I passed Trader Joe's and then I had all this stuff to do, went home. And then I was like, I really have a taste for that. So I can order delivery. And that cost me like $43, right? That $34 was waste.
Waste.
But let me give you an example. What's not waste? My favorite wine when I'm out is at least $100. I will pay that first.
So yes.
It's not about amount and it's not about what. It's just what doesn't give you pleasure. And first of all, the meal that I was talking to you about, I have that like feeling for it about maybe once a quarter, once half a year. So it's not my favorite. So I'm spending $34 extra on that, not my favorite meal. No, ma'am.
We're not. Okay. Let's take me back to freedom. I'm going to try to write it down. For those of you who are watching the podcast, you see I'm getting ready to write it down. Give me freedom again. It is
So FREEDOM is used as an acronym, the F, fitness, the R, relationships, the first E, expertise, and that's for your professional life. The second E, experiences, think your bucket list or, you know, just kind of fun. D, divinity, O, others, and M, millionaire. Now, the difference between relationships and others, because I always get this question, relationships is like, who are you in relationship with? The O would be community service.
Okay. Oh, I love that. Okay. Now, what you are teaching us with this is that this acronym of FREEDOM is what ultimately we all desire.
Yes.
And money is a tool to help us experience that freedom.
Yes. Period. And we have to start with what we want, because then that's how we make good decisions about our money. So every person I talk to, every client I've ever worked with, I always say, what do you want? And they're like, you don't want to know. I don't want to know any of that yet. I want to know what you want. And then what I do is calculate how much that costs. And then I figure out how much they have. And there's a gap. I call that your freedom gap. And as soon as I see that freedom gap, then we have to close that gap with your income and your assets. Okay. How do we do that? We have to maximize both your income and your assets. And sometimes, depending on where they're starting, we maximize quickly or we maximize slowly. It just depends on what your resources look like. But ultimately, what you have to do is maximize your income and maximize your assets so that you can pay for your freedom vision today and every day for the rest of your life, no matter what. When I, about 16 or 17 years ago, 12 to 13 years ago, my business is about going on 14 years. I was in a place where I could not afford a lot of extra. I was barely paying my bills. I mean, that was a rough period. And anybody who knows, who started a business knows that is, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But
Here
I am. I'm fine. It's my purpose. It's my journey, whatever. But in that moment, I had money for like one fun thing a week. One. Okay. And so that's what I spent my money on. And then what I did is I was like, okay, what's the next fun thing now on that list? And then it was like, I have to earn more. Mm-hmm. more. Now mm-hmm. I'm at a point where my profit is approximately 40% because I'm lean. I don't spend money on anything that does not give me pleasure.
And you said 80%.
40% profit, but
80%. No, you said an 80% pleasure. Your goal is to help people live at 80% of their day.
Yes. And that's what I do every single day. And what do I mean? How does that look? Okay. So let's just take today. So I woke up at some ungodly hour, right? Because I have like four projects I'm working on in this moment. And some people would say, well, that's terrible. It's not terrible for me because guess what? I had today and I'm spending it with my girl. So now I'm sacrificing sleep, sure, but I get pleasure because I had to do a few things, right? So, I did work that I absolutely love and I love getting out. Then we had some bonding time, right? Pleasure. Okay. Call with you. Pleasure. We're about to go to breakfast at Tiffany's, like the
blue. Yes, I love it.
So pleasure, right? And then later on, I have some things that I have to do that won't give me pleasure, but I'm okay because 80% is never 100%. You will never get there.
I love that. See, that right there is even so powerful because, you know, we have this movement on in the world now about living a soft life, right? And I get it. I understand what people are talking about. But I think it's been misconstrued to make people believe that you can live a life where you only do, and that's just not reality. So you're chasing something.
Well, the key is people have to find work that they truly love, right? Because see, the work is actually about service to others, right? Because Dr. Cole, Janet B. Cole said to us that, you know, service is the rent we pay to live on this earth. And so if a soft life, I don't know what the origin
what people mean. Yeah.
But let me tell you, I use the 80% pleasure. So I know in any given day that 80% of my day will be pleasurable, but that includes work. That includes things that I do do. But part of it is I've structured my life. I've curated a life that those items are things that give me pleasure. I like organizing my life. I like getting back to people on time. I like helping clients in this way. So I have designed that. Now, mind you, when I started, I was at 8% pleasure. Okay. So I went from, and I did 1% growth either weekly or monthly or quarterly. And then now we're up to 80%. Okay. And it took years to get to 80%, right? But I'm okay with that because 20% of my day is always something that I'm not happy with. Yesterday I was on a flight, of course, maintenance issues. We had the traffic was a whole hot mess. The rain was a whole hot mess. So 20% is always going to be something that involves me growing, right? I call it
I
it's
love
always
it. Yeah.
growing, right? But let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I am not actively engaging something I know that's not going to give me pleasure. So I usually now I'll lean into like, ooh, I don't like this. This isn't pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's 20% of my day, but I'm not going to say I'm making an active decision and I know that's not going to give me pleasure.
I know we have three solid questions I have to ask before we get out of here.
Yes, okay.
When I first, so do you still, is your business still under the umbrella of behaving wealthy?
Yes.
Tell me what that means.
Behaving wealthy, who do you have to be to have wealth?
Girl, you ain't never broke it down to me like that. I don't remember
Who do you have
that.
to
Woo!
be to have wealth? And there are a few money habits that you must embody. You must. And
Okay,
I have
can you give us a
to
couple of them? Oh, five of them.
there are
Give me
five
the
of them.
five.
You must see it, know it, keep it, grow it, and earn it. See it, know it, keep it, grow it, earn it. And
Okay.
see it starts with see what do you want? Know it, know your numbers. Where are you? What's your gap? What does it cost? The third one, keep it, keep as much as possible, maximize that income. Four, grow it, maximize your assets. And then five, earn what you're worth.
So when you talk about behaving wealthy, you have to, who do you have to be to have wealth? These are the five money habits. Girl, I should have known them because they are written on a board in my bathroom because I learned that from your podcast. Okay. So next question. When I first started diving into the work you do, you talked about at that time this concept of seven purses. I think that has transitioned now. Is that the freedom now? Okay. Okay. So the seven purses at one point is how you ex described it. I'm interested in why you changed it to the freedom. Just evolution.
Question. I'd have to think about it. I think the purses resonated with my audience, but the purses didn't really resonate with me because
Ah.
I'm not a purses person.
Okay. Okay.
Okay,
I get it.
if I could have one pocket, if I could go someplace, like my phone has like this little thing,
Yes. Oh, I love that girl.
and this and my keys. That's all I have. And I have a little chain. I have things that I have a little whatever the thing that
Shane, yeah,
have a chain. I have different colors, and every day that's all I have. That's all I have.
Girl, let me tell you, this is so, I'm a shout out to my girl Nikki.
But freedom
I
is
am so nice.
my number one value.
Mine too. But my girlfriend Nikki, she helps me with outfits and stuff when we have a special event at church. And so she's always like, "Nigga, girl, you need to get this clutch." And I'm like, "Not getting up on the pulpit with the clutch. Like, what's the point? I'm gonna get up there with the clutch." Okay, so the next question I want to ask is two solid questions I want to ask before you go. Women and faith.
Yes.
There are so many Christian women who struggle with saying, "I want to be wealthy,"
Yes.
because there is an idea, and I've asked every woman this question. I think there's an idea that that is selfish or it is ungodly. What do you say to that, specifically to Christian women?
God needs you to be wealthy. And let me tell you why. Because the more money you have to pay for your freedom vision, the more committed you're going to be to ensure that people have more.
Because, okay, let me see if I'm a good student. Because when you are walking in that freedom, you are tapping into a place of pleasure, which when you said people have a funny feeling about pleasure, if y'all want to use the word joy, you're tapping into that exceeding abundantly above that God promised us. Yes. And you are saying when you tap into that, particularly for women of faith, you want other people to have it.
Yes.
So you need to taste it, see it, know it, keep it, grow it, earn it, so that you can experience what that's like. And then you're going to make sure that other people experience it as well.
Right. Because let me say something that people often don't talk about. I talk about waste with money, but that also translates to waste with other resources, your time and your talent. There are so many things that people are doing that does not give, like so many things that people are doing that won't give them pleasure. So they're doing them out of obligation. They're doing them. It's creating resentment. Remember that? Sorry. It's creating overwhelm, resentment, regret, and yearning. And it's very difficult to be in your purpose when you feel feelings of sorry. It's almost like it's just out of alignment. You can't do it. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's happening is wealth, when you're in a state of sorry, wealth feels wrong or off because you know something is really not right here. That's why to start with your vision of freedom, because as you seek that, because it puts you in a different frequency, vibration, feeling, energy. Like you just, like when I am out, I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many people I can get. Because remember, I don't care where I am. Sometimes all I can give someone is a genuine smile, but I go places like a gas station or something. And the clerk will say to me, "You're the first person who asked me how I'm doing this week." You know how many people come in here? I'm like, here and thousands. You're the first. Well, see, I can do that because if my needs are met, I'm showing up whole. I'm showing up like, "Hi, how are you?"
You know, let me tell you the aha I have about what you just said. Most of us know, because I'm wanting my audience who's listening to this to really grasp it. Most of us, if you are a believer, and most of my audience are Christians, if you're a believer, you understand the concept that if you're driving down the street and you see a homeless man on the street, back in the day, we used to do these tracks. I mean, I don't think I ever passed out a track, but they used to pass out tracks. Well, we've evolved enough to understand that it's hard for somebody to receive a track if they're hungry.
Yes.
So you need to feed them, give them some food, help their basic needs. And psychology is called Maslow's hierarchy of need.
Love
meet
that.
Their basic need.
Yeah.
You need
shelter.
Because it's hard. Yes, it's hard to be evolved and to become your higher self when you're hungry.
Right.
So your point, how this resonates with us, if we truly believe that we are here to be a light in dark places, it's not suggesting that if you're not wealthy, you're not a light. It's just suggesting how much light could you shine if you were walking in freedom, which is what the Bible promises us. The Bible tells us that where there is liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
So I can walk in that freedom. And what's powerful, I'm getting it, girl. What's powerful is your freedom journey is not my freedom journey.
It is not.
Gap number,
as they say.
Yes, my gap number is not your gap number. Right. And so whatever that looks like for you. Okay.
Share one thing. So I struggled with my O, the others, giving my community service for a while because I would just, you know, give like money and volunteer, go to these meetings, you know, like civic organization meetings. And I just was not in my happy place doing that. That did not serve me. So I stopped doing that. And I was like, what can I do that is of deep service to others? And so what I do is I have mentees and they're all college age because that's the age I'm good with. Kids, period, but that age I just love. And every time I hit a new financial milestone, and part of what I do is one of them I meet with every month, every third Friday, everyone. Now that slot is actually a slot for a client, but I'm giving back to her in a way that serves us both. Serves us both. See that? So you have to figure out now. So money is involved in that because I'm giving up a client every month slot for that. I'm okay with that. You know why? Because that is my vision of how I serve. Because I know I needed that. I told you I was abandoned. So like I was raised by wolves. Right. Thank God there's a God. Because without God,
because when I see, it's so crazy to me. If y'all remember her story and she talked about celebrating her numbers day with her number, Robin, those of you who are listening to the podcast, baby, go over to YouTube because you're so freaking gorgeous. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around you being in college and hearing that you're beautiful for the first time in college.
Yes. Yes.
Like it's, if somebody were to see you, that's hard. And my husband said you've been gorgeous. So it's not like you went, it's not like you went through some phase. So that's so powerful to me. And what I want us to take from this conversation also, when you talked about your O, see, this is where our synergy is so powerful, because what I heard, you all hear me say all the time, pause and pay attention, pause and pay attention. What are you pausing and paying attention to? What is working and what isn't working? Because many of you are living out somebody else's freedom. Yeah. Many of you are living out somebody else's values. Robin, one of the things that I preach is that when you don't honor your deepest values, you will always live with an undercurrent of life dissatisfaction.
Yes.
And so it seems good to be out doing those civic organizations, and that's good for somebody. Yes. But when you paused and paid attention, you realize that that's not how you wanted to serve. Okay, last question.
Yes.
I was gonna ask you about scarcity mindset, but we've talked about it, particularly with sorry.
Yes.
When you talked about when you live in a state of sorry, which is, let me see if I can remember, shame, overwhelm, resentment, I forget the other R.
Regret.
Regret and?
Yearning.
Yearning. That keeps us in that scarcity mentality. I want you to write down sorry. That keeps us in that scarcity mentality. So this is my last ending question. For the woman who recognizes I have been living in that sorry mentality, scarcity, sorry.
Yes.
What is step one? What would you just tell her as we're leaving this conversation that she's driving down the freeway?
Yes.
And she recognizes I've been in the scarcity mentality. I want to get off of this.
Yes. Okay.
I want to go toward the path of abundance. Yes. What would that be?
I'm going to give her three options. One of them is self-serving. So I like to be very transparent. I want her to download the ebook. The Money Maximization Checklist, 5 Ways to Earn More While You Sleep by Doing Less, because it'll just feel good for her to do 10-minute behaviors that are going to get her money set and working harder for her while she sleeps. Do it once, it's done. Okay?
Yes.
The first thing. The second thing is I want her to think about, what do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
And freedom, just start with one thing. And how much do those things cost? Okay.
Yes.
And the third thing I want her to do is I want her to give up one thing that does not give her pleasure. You got to give it up. Now, I'm going to say this one thing before we go. People talk about scarcity, and I have been on a journey with God because all I had was God, but I also had a very uncomfortable relationship with God sometimes. Because I was like, hi, you said you love me.
Right.
He was like, literally abandoned me. Like,
yes.
Like a kid. Like that, right? I'm like,
yes.
Your book said. But because seeker is like, well, let me go to, church on Fridays. Because maybe Friday Bible study is going to teach me. Wednesday. I mean, I'm committed. But what I learned was that my faith journey, which has really been parallel to this worthiness, everything that happens to you is happening for you. Every single thing, everything, everything, everything. because my compassion is what it is because I didn't have compassionate experiences, right? Commitment, my to value add is people completely discarded me, right? So I don't do yes. that. Everybody's important, okay? But when we talk about scarcity, scarcity is actually a lack of faith. That's what scarcity really is. That's what real scarcity really is.
Lord, y'all, if you're listening, you can't see the fact. I don't understand why all y'all have just come down my street and slapped me around. Okay, talk to me. I feel that. I resonate with that. I get it.
Uh-huh. But break it down for me. So let me tell you why it happens. Because scarcity is a lack of faith. When you have a lack of faith, what you're saying is you don't believe that God is going to give you your deepest desires. But see, what you don't understand is like God put the deepest desires of you there. So that is the will, right? Because that's supposed to give you those desires is what it takes to grow, right? If yes. I didn't have to do anything, I wouldn't do it. But I have to.
Right.
I'd be a better person because it's like, that's what happened. So that's there. Well, if you don't trust what you have to go through to grow into who you have to be to have wealth, then guess what? You're not going to get what you want. So that scarcity mindset is really a lack of faith. The best way to do it is take baby steps. That's what, I don't know, maybe it's a different way for other people. I needed baby steps, okay? And my baby steps always required me to be really quiet because God talks to us. God, you know how I say God has the original swag? Literally, God yes. is not screaming.
Yes.
Like, Robin, do this. So if your music is too loud, you are distracted, you are not listening, you're going to miss it. You're going to get a pebble, a rock, a boulder, a crisis because you're ignoring the direction. Have the faith, take a baby step, and listen for God to direct you. One of those three, God is going to say, do one of those three today. Get quiet. Turn the radio off and talk to God or talk to yourself. Get quiet because this relationship of like win-win, you receiving, you giving is about being clear. And sometimes that requires you to just be quiet. Turn it all off.
The Bible says that he speaks in a quiet, still voice.
Yeah, that's it. Original sweat. God is not screaming.
I just felt such conviction and I like to share, I tell people, Robin, I share my crazy so that you don't have to share yours. When you said that about God is going to speak it, mm-hmm. original swag, yeah. you could miss it. This is what I received in that. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of good work.
Yes.
But a lot of times I am working to solve and fix in my mm-hmm. own strength. Mm-hmm. in my own power, and what I can conjure up instead of, to your point, being still, mm-hmm. like I'm doing this. God, this is real. If you're watching it, this is me. God, tell me what to do. Now I'm going to keep doing this. But now what? Now, come on. Instead of, wait a minute, relax, mm-hmm. rest, and trust. When you talk about it's a lack of faith, trust that he's going to do what he promised by getting me in position to walk in it. Girl, this conversation.
At that moment, when you get quiet, the first thing you got to do, though, is say thank you. So say thank you for this conversation with Robin. Thank you, God, for the experience yesterday. God, whatever, I always do five things because I feel like if you can get to five, you're just in a spirit of gratitude. And right. then that's what God is. It's like you're connected to God once you're in a spirit of gratitude. You say those five, you know, thank yous. And then you're like, Lord, I need you. Mm-hmm. I want X and it costs Y. So that gap, Z, help. God's like, oh, I got you. I'm gonna about us when we're like grateful, like yes,
and just grateful.
Mm-hmm. Like
I say, Selah.
We can talk all day.
That's beautiful. Okay, so let me say this. I want people to be able to follow you, but first, her ebook will be in the show notes. So whether you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to it on your favorite podcast app, her ebook will be in the show notes so you can access it there. But how can they also follow you and connect with you?
Yes. So the easiest way to follow me is to text me at 888-85-WORTH. 888-85-WORTH, and text the word Robin May. And I will know, you know, kind of where you're coming from. And then I'll follow up with the question of, you know, how may I be of service? And we'll go from there.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So you all have that. And then you can also grab her ebook. And do you have social media that anybody can connect with you on? Do you prefer the number?
I think the number is better because I'm getting into social media. You know,
let's keep it at the number. Yes. Let's keep it at the number. Robin, this conversation, as all of our conversations are, is life-changing for me. I literally have all these notes in front of me. I love you. I'm grateful for you. And like I told the people, watch me allow God, because I was going to say, watch me work. Watch me rest.
Steve.
And watch me. I am going to be y'all's example because things are about to shift in a way that next level. Robin, thank you.
Thank you for having me. You actually blessed me because I love like helping people. So like, just think about what I'm walking away with, like knowing you took notes. I'm so excited.
Girl, notes, honey. I'll see you next time.
Bye, Robin.
Hey, friend, listen, I'm super excited that you listened to this episode of Intentional Conversations with Robin May and Friends. But before you go, did you know that my book, Before You Take His Name, is officially available for you to purchase? Just head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Before You Take His Name gives Christian women 14 questions that you should ask before you say, I do. But here's the thing. The book is actually best for those who may be casually dating, or girl, even if you're not dating at all, this is the time to read the book because it will allow you to set a healthy foundation when you start to get serious about somebody that just may be the one. So if you haven't already, head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right in the description of this video. If you're watching this on your favorite podcast app, you can find it in the show notes. Or if you're following me on Instagram, you can head over to Robin May Online and click the link in my bio. Listen, girl, if you're married, will you go ahead and order it for one of your single girlfriends? Tell them I told you to send it to them. Again, Before You Take His Name is available for purchase. Go grab your copy.